Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Insightful Journey podcast, a podcast where we talk about tarot, spirituality, shamanism, paranormal. Man, the list of topics is probably never ending. Anyway, my name is Charlie, and I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host.
Hey, everybody, it's Jameson. How you doing?
How you doing? All right, Mr. Joey
I'm
from
doing
Friends.
Good, man.
There's a Joey from Friends over there. I thought you was in Ohio, not New York.
It's like I always say, like, weird Southern comments. And, like, I don't even think I've been to the South.
Oh, man, I lived in Texas for years. Don't get me started. That accent will come out. So just be careful. As a hey, y'all.
How was your week?
Wasn't bad.
Good.
Somehow survived through it all. Oh, goodness. Episode 6 already. Man, what happened? Where'd the time go?
Dude, I do not know. It's like, this morning I was thinking about, like, oh, we're on episode 6? Like, how did we got here? We're here. This is great. And, like, I love how we both were like, okay, we've been recording each weekend. We'll take a break this weekend because we got a couple in the stock. And then we're both like, you know, this is a lot of fun. And you want to record? Yeah, I want to record. Let's do it.
I know, man. I know. This is not work. This is not a job. This is a time where I just get to sit down with a friend and have a great conversation. So it's a blessing.
It's wonderful.
It is. It really is. Okay, let's see. I don't know, man. There's so much stuff going on. But you know what? I need a reading. You better grab your deck. Give me a reading, my friend.
Oh, snap. I knew you were going to do that.
I know. last time I could get away with the surprise, but this one, you know it's coming, so.
Bum, bum, bum. All right. Hey. Busting out the Forager's Daughter.
Oh, he brings out the big deck for me.
Oh, I love this deck so much. Literally the most beautiful deck I've ever seen. And it makes me stupid happy.
That's good. I'll play the shuffling music.
Second floor.
Ladies' underwear. Moving up. I don't know what I'm saying, dude. I don't know. Trying to remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where they'd have the guy in the elevator and he'd, you know, announce what's on every floor.
Oh, man. I was, like, trying to put some, like, Looney Tunes and, like, old cartoons on for my girls. Mm-hmm. And started putting on. I did not realize how racist some of that stuff was.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, you know, we just grew up with it, and that was just the way, like, some of the, like, the cartoons were. But, like, I was watching it, I'm like, I don't know if I want, like, my girls, like, watching this crap. Like,
it was a different world back then. And then you have to remember, you know, a lot of those were made in the 40s and 50s, you know,
right,
60s.
Right.
You know, it was a different world back then, and, you know, cartoons are a reflection of the society, so, you know, that's what was going on.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think, like, the main, like, reason why cartoons were made was to, for, like, propaganda and, like, I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I want to say that I did read that somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of them started because they needed, like, a little something before a film, before you went out to a movie. So, you know, they had shorts and, you know, animated things. And it was a lot of propaganda, a lot of political statements. So, you know, the government used that stuff. It was pretty crazy. I mean...
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, World War II training films. There was a lot of cartoons that were World War II training films, you know, for military people. It's nuts to go back.
That's just so... Yeah.
Disney, Looney Tunes. I'm trying to think. I can't remember. But yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
All right, let's see what we got here.
I'm just throwing all this random energy at you, so this will be interesting.
Right. And so I have shuffled. I have gone and made my arc and then let my hands decide where we were going. It's funny, every time I go to do my cards, I stop pulling from the top of the deck, like probably like a couple years ago, and started, you know, I shuffle and do all my whole thing, and then I draw them all into a big arc, and then like put my hands over them until I got like any type of interesting feeling. Like, you know, when you randomly get an itch in your eyebrow or like a tingle in your finger, like I just try to feel for something that like goes this one, you know?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen people do that. It's not how I work. It's, you know, but I, you know, there's no wrong way to do it because the cards you pull are obviously have a meaning. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's because my brain.
Interesting.
Yeah, my brain operates on the physics or wherever. I don't even know what level of philosophy or whatever this is. It's the undeterminate principle. It's like, as long as, you know, until I flip the card over, it could be any card in the deck. And as far as I know, it is still changing what it is until I actually see the image on the other side.
What is that, Schrodinger's card?
Yeah, Schrodinger's card. Yeah, I have Schrodinger's deck, man. I don't know what the card is until I flip it over. And then the rest of the deck, that top card could be one of any of the other 77. And, you know, to me, it's like they could be even changing while they're face down until I flip it over. I don't know. So I guess that's kind of where my mind is. So for me, dealing off the top of the deck is perfect. You know, after I've shuffled them, the cards are in the order they need to be in. But anyway, that works. Sorry. Tangent. Let's get back to my reading. What'd you pull?
All right. So the first card I have is Ancestors. This is one of my new higher arcana in this deck, which I absolutely love the ones they added in.
Ooh.
So for Ancestors and how I see this deck is like you and I, especially like with our connection to like the spirit and like spirituality, we are strongly, we strongly feel our spirit guides, our ancestors, and it's something that we connect with and are curious about. And I definitely know for a fact that the past of our like lives and universes and the family and connection to our ancestors is strongly felt in our life. And they are trying to help us and talk to us and like give us strength and inspiration as we go about things. And also it's to help us like see lessons for like the future. Like okay. If you don't pay attention to where you came from, where your ancestors came from, how your ancestors did things, good or bad, how are you going to improve? Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is strongly talking about like our ancestors in our day-to-day life.
All right. I like that.
Our second card, and I always have a hard time with this one, the Nine of Swords.
Ooh.
And so I it's hard for me because I'm kind of like biased with many of the swords cards because most of the time I immediately go uh-oh, and it's not always an uh-oh, it's more of like a direct action or like it's not like a mental move but more of like a do or done or like I don't know, straight like more direct. And so the Nine of Swords, I really feel like is talking about like growth and reminding ourselves that like our actions do directly affect our world. And sometimes when you make and do something, it changes things permanently. And like, it's like as simple as, have you ever thought about that centipede that you saw and scared you and you just stepped on it? Like literally you permanently changed the world, and that's something you can't take back. So I feel that this is more about just being aware of like think before you act, take time to really like think things through. Like, and this might be even more directly at me because I like sometimes do and talk without thinking. And it's like my mouth goes way quicker than my mind.
That's good. That's interesting. Okay.
And so I just think that like for like present stance that, you know, just like pay attention, keep in mind your actions and the good or bad consequences of those actions.
Yeah, be mindful. Yeah, okay, I like that. And
then our last card is the Knight of Cups.
Ooh,
and I always see, yeah, I always see the knights in many of the cards, like the knight I always see is like the youthful, like the not youthful, but almost like newly formed steps towards what you're trying to do. Like it's not like an old task, it's more like a newer thing, but also it's like going in with eyes that are wide with happiness and expectations of how you want things done. You are you're filled with this light that shines through because it's shining through something that isn't solid. It's almost transparent, and you have to remember to see the light, even if it is shining through something, because there's no shadows without the light. And also, I'm definitely getting from my ancestors, I guess maybe it is my ancestors, if that's what is coming through, that I think something special is coming through in the, of course, I'm not really good with my moon phases, where it's half shadowed. What is that? Waxing, waning, I don't know.
Well,
but
is it getting bigger? Is the light getting bigger or smaller?
I believe that the light's getting smaller in what I'm feeling.
So that's waning.
Okay. So it's halfway through the waning cycle. And I think we should pay attention for something that's going to happen around that time. And
okay.
Other than that, it's just the growth of our minds and what we're doing to to move forward. and I apologize. Usually I have more time to ponder all these things. So I'm Charlie and I have talked that we're doing this so that I can be better off the cuff. And yeah, last week when you threw me under the bus, I thought I was hit by each tire. Because I was oh man, that I literally felt that was one of my worst and most vague readings I've done in a long time. It was a little vague, which was disappointing to me, because I want my readings to feel like it's not how can I say it? This is exactly the set meaning for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like when I have time to really feel my intuition on something, because then I feel I have a better reading altogether. And then when you hit me up and are like, you actually did pretty good on nailing these cards. You didn't.
Yeah.
You weren't 100% sure if you knew the meanings, but you definitely did. And I was oh, thank you.
Yeah, you got there. You know, the more you do, the better you get, the easier it becomes. So, it's practice,
yeah.
practice. I mean, there's no judgment here. You're learning, so you do it. I tell everybody I'm a constant student of the tarot. I'm always learning. I've got this extensive library. I'm always finding books on tarot, different things. I'm always reading through. And the way I do it, and I tell everybody, it's take what resonates and leave the rest. Yeah, so if you find something and it's wow, that's really it, then that's what it means for you. That's your meaning. That's going to be your interpretation. Fold that into your style and, just keep going. You create it all the time. And you did really good with those cards, too. I like it. My takes on the knight is the page is the new, the childlike wonder, the clumsy teen kind of thing. The knight is is a little bit older, a little more experienced person, So if you want ages, the pages are, say, in their teens, adolescent, clumsy, this new body is coming in and they're trying to figure out how everything works. Where a knight already has that. It kind of has that comfort. Knows how things work, but then you can be really determined and focused on things. For me, the Knight of Wands, and I always get this picture in my head, and I laugh every time it comes up, is I see, you know, the knight in shining armor going to kill the dragon. You know, save the maiden, kill the dragon. That's it, you know. Knight of Swords is like single purpose, single-minded. This is what I do. Bam.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what detriment, no matter what harm, no matter what everything, they are the ones that charge directly into the situation. You know, and somehow they fight their way out of it. They either cut their way through, they may get beat up, they may get tossed around, but they come through it. And they're just like single-mindedly, bam. They can be a bit reckless, though, because, I mean, when you go headfirst into a brick wall, the brick wall usually wins. So, you know, it's just like, are you going to keep doing that? Yeah, you know, you're going to keep repeating the situation. But, yeah. Yeah, I like that reading. That's really good.
I wanted to like some clarification on like the moon. So I drew three more cards more directly in like towards the moon. Now I'm going to give you these cards and I want you to tell me what you think of them. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
So the first card I drew is the Page of Pentacles.
Okay, so Page of Pentacles for me is you're making a plan, you're getting a plan together. Pentacles being earth, money, grounding. It's usually a business plan, a venture. You're getting the details together, but you're not ready to share this with the world. You're not ready to launch this idea. Get a close friend, you know, kind of go over the details, check out, you know, make sure that all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, you know, get all the details in place, then you can launch this thing. But you're putting a plan together, you got the good form of it.
Awesome. And then ironically, especially since I asked about like what the moon had to do with this, the second card is the moon.
The moon is, it's always kind of a mystery Mercury card to me. Not straight up deceitful, but it shows you things the way it wants you to see the situation, not the way the situation may be in the sunlight.
Right.
Yeah, so there's always a mystery. You don't have all the details when the moon comes up. You don't have all the information. I always tell people, no snap judgments, no quick decisions, because you don't have all the information. And if you do make like a quick decision or snap, you know, judgment, you know, bam, it's going to be wrong. So get more information before you act with the moon.
Yeah, like walking through the forest in the dark and you forgot to bring a flashlight. You know, I kind of always saw it like that. And like, you remember that you have a flashlight and that the sun will rise, but you're still walking in the dark.
Yeah. And then the trees become monsters, you know, and there's things coming at you. I always explain the moon, you know, late at night, the monster tapping on your window, you know, during the day, it's just a tree branch. So that's the energy of the moon. Yeah. So it's that, you know, you're seeing things, but not clearly.
Heck yeah. And then this is the other part that like why I'm happy I drew these cards because you remember how you said the Knight of Cups is your card?
Yes.
And my card is the next one, the Emperor.
The Emperor. Ooh. Wow. I don't get that energy for you, but that's me. The Emperor to me is always, he's the very much the authoritative figure, the very much you do as I say kind of person. Follow his rules. He sets the rules. You follow his rules. And also before, he's the one that energy, like before you set out on a trip, make sure exactly you know where you're going, where, you know, if you're in the car, where you get gas, are your tires full of air, you know, does the engine work, boom, where are you stopping for food, where are you stopping to sleep, boom, 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 you know, everything is planned out before you go. Make sure you have all of the information, all of the details, you're ready to go. For that's that kind of energy with the Emperor. It's, you can even just distill it down and say pay attention to details. He's there, but it's also, you know, he does not suffer a fool. You know, if you're just like half, I want to say half-assedly, so excuse my language, but you know, if you're just like joking around and not taking anything serious, the Emperor is going to put his foot down. It's like, no, this is a serious thing. Make sure you got all the details. You have to do this correctly.
Very neat. And that, like, I like how you explain that, because I think that what you just described are things like that are things I need to pay more attention to. Like having, like saying earlier that my mouth goes faster than my brain. And also, like, I've always seen the Emperor as, like, the natural born leader who is always working for the best of everyone.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always agree with everyone, because they may not see it that way, but what he thinks is the best for everyone is kind of like the actions he sees.
Yeah.
And that, like, people are almost always drawn to them and want to, like, help and work with them. And, you know, like, if, like, it's like when the cops are told, hey, I need you to go do this. The cop's not going, why would I do that? They're going, yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's you know, the Emperor can come up in, you know, like, tough love situation, too. It's like, hey, you know, it's going to be hard on you, going to be tough, but this is for your good, you know, to go through this. This is for your good. Follow the rules. Do all this stuff. Boom, boom, boom. It's that very authoritarian figure to me.
Makes sense, makes sense. And, like, the main reason I call it my card is, I'm not joking, that's probably, like, especially when I'm doing readings for myself, I swear I pull that card all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably right, like what I said earlier. It's probably just a reminder to, like, think before I act kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think that. Yeah, pay attention to the details. Yeah, definitely. Think through what you're doing, or, you know, try and figure out your words before they just jump out of your mouth.
Right, right. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, my. Okay, that was interesting. That was fun. So you put me on the spot, eh? Okay, mister. Anyway.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, Uno reverse.
Turn the tables. I see the way this works. It's okay. I think I'm up for the challenge, so that's great, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that was fun. I like that. I enjoy that. I know there's a couple of tarot groups on Facebook that I'm part of, and one of them, you know, people, there's a lot of new people, you know, everyone's trying to learn and doing things, and they're, you know, they ask for help on interpreting cards, and it's funny, because when I go through, it's like, okay, I always try to be gracious and polite with, you know, with my thing, and just kind of guy and go, hey, this is how I see it. This is how I would interpret it. You know, if it resonates, you know, take it. I never try and be like, oh, you idiot, you know? And there are some posts I see, and I can just feel the energy coming through, and I just know the answer the person wants to hear. And that's not what those cards are saying. And this person's not going to be happy, and they'll just keep reaching out until somebody validates the message they want to hear. And I'm like, I feel sorry for this, because I'm like, no, you know, I know this isn't what you want, but you need to listen. Please listen to the message. This is how you're going to grow. This will make you better. I know it sucks. Believe me, I've gotten a lot of messages through those cards that I don't like reading. I don't like seeing. I don't like hearing. But you know what? Life isn't all sunshine and roses, you know? There are tough things. And when you're in those tough situations, when you're out of your comfort zone, that is where you grow. Yeah.
Yes.
So you end up in
those places. I'm definitely throw into the fire kind of guy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I always say I jump in the deep end, man. I'm going to sink or swim. I usually end up learning how to swim. You know, I haven't drowned yet.
Yeah, you better not.
Yeah, exactly.
Chewbacca?
I know when I'm over my head, but, you know, I figure my way out of it. So I'm pretty good. So it's basically, my point was, you know, if I can be a positive influence, then I'll interact with somebody, you know, interact with the post and, like, share my thoughts and ideas. Other ones, you know, I can just tell that the person, you know, I know what they want to hear, and I'm not going to give them that message. And, you know, they'll be polite and thank me, and then they'll just keep asking until, and then you'll see somebody, you know, hints or gives them the, you know, the thing that they were looking for, and boom, you know, yes, exactly. Thank you for validating my feelings. Nope. Yeah, yeah, validating your feelings, but that ain't what them cards say. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, like, ironically, you talking about this, like, especially this week, and many, like, at least, like, half the readings I've done has been people wanting a love reading this week. And every single time that I've had those, these people weren't looking for insight from the cards. They were looking for, like you said, validation of their feelings, yep, or what they want. They're looking for their own answer. They're not looking to get an answer, or, like, you know, they're not looking for, mm-hmm, what the cards have to say. They want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And it was really hard on me because, like, as a reader and being more comfortable with, like, trusting my reads, and then, like giving them the reading and they're just like, they get upset or start demanding more questions, and, mm-hmm, like, which led me into this week really starting to think on how I could set expectations and boundaries for my clients, sort of people I'm reading for, you know, because, like, some, if those things aren't set, like, how do you go about it? Like, especially if, like, if somebody's upset about not hearing what they want to hear, what do you do then?
Yeah, that's where you gotta be strong. You have to stand behind, you know, yourself. Yeah, you know, so that's where the confidence in your reading and what you're doing comes into play. You know, you have to, you know, make sure that, you know, you know what your reading is. You know what your cards are telling you. So with new clients, you know, with new people I'm going to do full readings on, I always try and at least set some kind of baseline expectations. You know, I have a joke. It's like, don't ask me for the lotto numbers, because if I could tell you the lotto numbers, I wouldn't be sitting here reading your cards, okay? You wouldn't even know me.
Right.
You know, if I could get that kind of information out of the cards, I would have hit the lotto and been, you know, living in the Bahamas on my own private island. So, you know, that don't, you know.
Yeah.
Tarot don't do that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, I kind of set the expectations and go, here's what it is and here's what I can do. Here are the messages that I get, you know. Just give them a general, you know. The reading is a snapshot in time of when we did the reading, you know, where the energies are. I always, you know, I don't want to know their question because, you know, then I play my biases into it. So I always tell them.
Right.
But I do tell them to be very clear in their mind, in their head, what they want. You know, it's like I had this one lady, beautiful lady, and doing it, I was like, you know, just the one thing, you know, I go concentrate on that. And she was like, okay, and I'm shuffling the cards. You know, this is a distant reading, so, you know, I had her on a Zoom call. And, you know, she was like, okay, good, surface, you know, cards are shuffled enough. And I was like, yeah, I could feel that. I knew that was good. And so I start to lay them out, and so we're going through, and I'm like, I got two stories going on here. And even at one point I told her, I said, okay, I'm like, this is two things. She goes, yeah, I couldn't decide which one, so I was thinking about both of them while you were shuffling. I was like, okay, well, it's going to be a little muddy then, you know, so I get, like, partial on two stories. So, you know, I gave her what clarity, and then she kept asking a couple questions. I'm like, okay, you know, we can go into some of this and everything. You know, I felt I didn't want to just leave her hanging, so I kind of got her some clarity on a few things. But, yeah, I learned that, you know, going into it, you know, offering free readings because people ask, and then, you know, they get questions. Oh, what about this? What about this? And they keep going and going and going. When it's free, it's harder because it's like they don't understand. It is an investment of energy. You know, it's not just our time, but it's also our energy of shuffling the cards, you know, connecting with our guides and everything to do this and to get the meaning, you know, to reach out for the guides to connect to them, find out what it is, and then give us the cards so we can deliver the message to them. It's an investment of our time and energy. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just, you just got to have a conversation, you know, first, especially, you know, like offering the free readings, you know, or set clear, go, hey, you know, okay, no problem. Yes, I'll do a 3-card reading for you. This is it. Now, what I ended up doing with a lot of free ones that I offer is I'll give them this and go, hey, if you want to go deeper into this, you know, we can do a full reading. This is what I charge, you know. I know. On some of these public groups, you can't say that you charge for reading. So, but if I'm messaging, you know, because normally they'll just message me directly on Messenger, you know, and say, hey, what about this? What about this? I'm like, well, this is what I charge for a full reading, and we can go into that. You know, it's, you know, I give you your free message, and thank you for that and that experience. But if you do want to go more, it is an investment of my time and energy. I need to be compensated for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's great to, like, especially having, like, you in my life to give me, like, wisdom and thoughts on things, because all of my, like, you know, though I've read, like, tarot for 20 years, almost all of my readings have been with people that I know, love, and respect, and know that they're not gonna, like, barrage me with BS.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
So having, like, moving towards doing more readings for, like, other people and doing that, working towards doing it for, you know, a living and, like, sharing that. There's still a lot that I have to learn, and, like, talking to you about, like, expectations and boundaries it's so helpful, because I didn't have to worry about those things when I did, like, readings for so long, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same thing, like, for all my friends and stuff, you know, I'll do it, you know, at different events when I see, like, people on my paranormal team or whatever, you know, they'll come and it's like, hey, you know, I need a reading, I need this. Most of them are happy to pay as well, but, you know, for friends, I'm like, I don't care, whatever, you know, buy me a beer or, you know, buy me lunch or dinner, you know, whatever. You know, I'm good with that. You know, it's, to me, it's, there's got to be an exchange of some sort to do a reading, for it to be a good reading. So, you know, whether, you know, the whole thing, you know, crossing your palm with silver, that's where it comes from. There's an exchange, you know, this for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes any sense. So, with new clients, you know, I always charge, or, you know, people like, you know, I'll give the free 3-card and I'm like, hey, you know, if you're interested in something deeper, please reach out. I can do that. But, you know, it is an investment of my time and energy. And some of these people on the groups, you know, they're new. And a lot of it, I know a lot of it's all love. There's a lot of love and emotional, you know, that emotion. I get it. I understand. You know, you're trying to figure out, you're trying what's going on. And you're like, oh, tarot, psychic. Yeah, they're going to tell me. They're going to tell me. No, we can't. I guess the biggest message to get out is, no matter what, I don't care how many spells I could do for you, how many readings I could do for you, I cannot affect somebody else's free will.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I could, stop and think for a minute, because if I could affect their free will, that means I could affect your free will, or someone else could affect your free will. Would you like that?
No, stay away from my free will.
Yeah, and exactly, as soon as you turn it to where, well, somebody that you don't even know or like could control what you do, they get super like, oh my God, oh, do. I'm like, but that's what you're asking me to do to that person.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, so, and then you're getting into dangerous territory.
Yeah, and that's that is never going to work. I mean, you know, it's never going to work out the way you wanted it to. Let's put it that way. If you step in and mess up somebody's free will, it is never going to turn out good. Period.
Yeah, it's like the old adage, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I wished for $1 million and then ended up in a giant herd of deer.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you know.
Took me a second. I got that one. $1 million. Bum. Hey, we're here all week, everybody. Try the fish.
Try the fish. I would rather have the venison, especially since you have 1 million of them.
You're not going to let that go. Okay. Anyway, I've got this thing. Let me get it out. Okay, hold on. Stop making me laugh. Anyway, a friend, I won't share his name. But he actually did this at one point. There was a person he was very, very, very attracted to, and they did get together one time, and he did all of this work on this person while they were together, and, you know, casting the spells and doing that. I mean, he did a lot. He's told me all the details. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, you were serious about that? He goes, oh yeah, definitely. He goes, this was going to be the love of my life. Well, guess what? It worked. He made that person infatuated with him. There's a problem when someone's infatuated with you and not in love with you. You don't want that attention. So, then they became like the clingy star. I mean, it was the most horrible thing ever.
Straight stalker territory.
Yeah, I mean, beyond stalker. I mean, so like so super clingy, like, you know, his life was being cut off because of this other person. And it's all like, uh-huh. He goes, that is a lesson that I learned. He goes, I learned it. You know, he goes, I was in my 20s. I was young. I was dumb. This is what I wanted. And he goes, I got what I wanted. And then I realized, that's not what I want.
Right. Yeah. And there's a big difference between what you want and what you need.
Yeah. So
that's a hard territory to go through.
It is. And especially, you know, when it's all emotional, it's heart and all this stuff. You know, if it's been a relationship and then they broke up and that, you know, and he's not with you anymore. Oh my God, it's horrible. What happened? Is he ever going to come back? And I'm like, you know the answer to that. Now, and if he does, do you want him back? Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I was like, okay, well, you know, I won't go into super details, but basically a reading was like, hey, if you do bring him back into your life, you need to, you know, set some boundaries, you know, change ground rules. He can't just walk back in scot-free, you know, like when he walked out. You can't just, oh, he's back in, and you just pick up from where he, you know, from where you left off. Because if you do that, he's going to just do the same thing to you again. And I mean, that message was like so clear in my cards. And I was strong. What do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean? Set boundaries. I don't have to change. I'm like, okay, then go for it. You know what? Go have fun. You don't want to listen to the message. So you know what? Bring him back into your life. Bring him back into your life. Within 6 months, he's going to cheat on you again. He's going to blow your heart up again. But go ahead, because that's what you want. No, you're
right.
You know, I don't know what all you have to go to learn the lesson. You know, I mean, yeah. And heartbreak is horrible. It's terrible. It sucks. We've all been heartbroken. We've all been there. I understand. I'm not cold hearted. I'm not discounting your feelings. I know. Trust me. I know what it feels like. But, you know, sometimes you went through that because there's something better and you're going to grow out of this. And then you're not going to have that same thing happen to you again.
Yeah.
Ooh, I and just like got deep week, there. Damn.
I can't. And like all this week, I swear to God, I've wanted to tell like people like, and you know, this is just my personal opinion. Your self-worth is not dependent on other people.
Bingo.
Lordy. Like I know that it's like, trying to understand something that you can't understand because you've never been in that situation. I was lucky and brought up in a loving, supportive family and have always known my self-worth. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to be mindful that other people don't think like that. And like many times when somebody is like, oh, well, I just feel worthless without them, I immediately like knee-jerk reaction, want to backhand you. Like, yeah. And, like, that sounds terrible. It's just like, but dude, you're worth it already. Like, what do you mean? Like, stop basing your worth, like, stop building your life around another person. You build your life with a person.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where we as readers have to, you know, build in so much compassion and try and help people. And that's also why, man, we can't be doing this for free. I mean, that level of, you know, there and kind of helping somebody and coaching somebody, I mean, it takes a lot out of you. And if that energy is going to this stranger that you don't even know, then it's taking away from you that you could be putting toward your family, that you should be putting toward your family the rest of your life, you know, this kind of thing. So it's those levels.
It's draining.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and I understand people on the outside, you know, they think like, oh, you know, well, we just have this gift and boom, you know, this one person who was going through all this, you know, and then she came back to me like a week later and she goes, well, another tarot reader told me this. Another one told me this. I'm like, I'm like, yep.
You're right.
You're just going around to reader, reader, reader until you hear what you want to hear. And
yes,
and
yes.
Like her biggest one when she came in, she was like angry. Like, well, they told me this, but you told me that. Why? Why is it different? Two different people, but you both use tarot. Why is it different? I was like, different times when the readings were done, different energy. And maybe that person was telling you what you want to hear, not the message that was being delivered.
Right.
I didn't exactly say those words, but I was like, I can offer a free, you know, a full reading. Normally I charge $40 for my full readings because I knew she wasn't going to get the message. I'm like, I charge $60 for a full reading. When you want to book that reading, we can do it. We'll go into all the details. And she goes, she's like, okay, boom. And she's like, readings are an hour long, right? And I was like, well, yeah, I think to myself, eh. I can get it done. I can get it done in 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, you know, go through all the cards. And then, you know, like you, I take pictures of all the cards, do a full written report to the reading. I can add a little more insight as I've taken time and, you know, I reflect on things instead of just in the minute. And I send them a written report. So, I mean, for $40, that's one heck of a bargain. For $60, I think that's like fair, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot of work, and
yeah, and she kept going, well, okay, well, we'll see, but what about this? I'm like, if you want a full reading, it's $60, let's book it. I just stopped answering her questions, stopped even trying, because I knew she would just keep coming, and if I did give her an answer, then she'd be like, but what about this, you know, she would never stop. And she finally, she goes, well, you know, I really want to, but I don't have any money, I can't afford it, can't we do something cheaper? I was like, well, I can see. I go, but it is an investment of my time and my energy. I go, and, you know, I don't know. She goes, well, what about like $15 for 15 minutes? I was like, I'll see if I can do something. I haven't gotten back to her yet. No.
Right.
No, because it's going to be 15 minutes of just barrage until she hears exactly what she wants to hear.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, even when she came back to me, you know, because I gave her a 3-card reading, she goes, you gave me a lot of information in the reading, but you never answered my question. And so, you know,
sometimes we don't get the answer to the question.
Yeah, and so I went back through, like, our conversation. I was like, you asked 7 questions. Which question in particular did I not answer? And she goes, She goes, well, it's a very easy yes, no. I was like, again, you asked me 7 questions. Which one did I not answer? And so she, you know, rattled off the question. I'm like, okay, boom. I'm like, well, you want a yes, no? I got a 50-50 shot. And I just shot her, you know, whatever. I think I told her yes. And that's when she went off. Well, another tarot reader told me no. Why is it different? And I was like, you know what? If you want to know the answer, pay for a reading. Yeah, because I'm like, no.
Oh, Lordy.
No. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so hopefully people listening to this, you know, can come into a reading with a little more understanding, a little more grace. It's because it's energy on both sides,
Yeah, yeah. And it's good to talk about, especially for people that don't do readings, so that they can understand, like, some of the things that readers, like, go through, you know, and it's not always easy. And sometimes we have, like you have said before, not everybody is readable.
Yeah.
And also, like, when people want readings about other people, and that happens a lot in love readings, it's going
through,
the filter of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to that person. I'm talking to you, and your view of them is, like, them putting on a mask. I don't see the person. I see the mask you put on them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I've had a lot of people reach out, and, you know, I'll say that I don't do third-party readings. And then most people will be like, nope, because, you know, they want it. And I'm like, I'm not reading that person. I'm reading you. You know, and any information I would get about that person is, like you said, it's coming through the filter of the them, you know. This, you know, the person who wants to know about person C, I'm filtering person C through that person. I'm not getting a full straight on person C. And it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be right for me to even try and read person C without their permission.
Yeah.
If you understand that. So.
Oh, and it's really confusing too. As like the reader, you're like, they're like, oh, how do they feel? I'm like, I don't know this person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're feeling, or they're asking, like, will they come back to me? And it's like, so far, the question you already asked has told me nothing about them coming or going, and I've never claimed to be a psychic.
Yes, exactly.
I intuitively read the cards, and I feel like I get slightly frustrated when they're asking me questions as if I'm a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm like, I have affirmations often that's really neat and like borders on the feelings of like psychic stuff, but like, mm-hmm. I am not a psychic.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just so crazy. Anyway. Okay, I think, but you know, like when, if you do events, if you're doing readings at events, and so people have a more general understanding, they're more comfortable with tarot, they understand tarot, and they know, they have better expectations when they sit down, you know, and they're getting a reading, at least most people do,
yes.
And, you know, then, you know, face to face, you know, I can always just kind of explain to people, hey, it's like, you know, this is what it is, you know, and If you really want, it's based on you, your energy, what's happening right now, and like even the outcome. You know, I never call it a final outcome because it's not
right.
Final. Like I say, yeah, you always have free will. This is a snapshot of the energies at the time, and if you continue on the way you are, this is where I see it going. No, you don't
right.
like you
right.
don't like that message? Then change something. You got the power to change it. You really do. So.
Yeah. And humans as like just an entity in the world, humans, were you the same person last year?
Oh, there you go.
No. Was I the same person last year? No. Heck, if we go back 7 years, you might not have liked me, you know? And like, but that's something that like is not always understood, that like, my wife changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? You changed too, baby.
I would never expect my wife to stay the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they say that, like, you're growing together, you're growing, you're learning, you're changing. Like, that's the point of existence in life.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully you can remain compatible as you go through, but sometimes you find out, you know, really not. And that's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You didn't fail in life because you grew apart from this person. You know?
Yes. Yes. You still have self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. We are like 47, 48. So, like, we're almost an hour in and we haven't even touched the paranormal.
Oh, wow. That's funny. This is why I want to go back through to look at our outlines and compare, because we're like, we'll talk about these four or five subjects, and then we're like, we get done, and we're like, which subjects did we get done? I think we only covered one.
Yeah, one, two. I mean, you know, we set this one up to like, okay, let's kind of talk about readings, saying expectations on readings. You know, how we handle people and so on. So we were just like, okay, we'll touch on that, and then we'll just jump over into this topic. And then we spend the whole show on one topic. It's good.
Right.
Tell me.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to... Interrupting cow. Moo. on the paranormal, I'm curious, when you think of a paranormal experience, what is the one that you either had or think about when somebody says, like, what's the paranormal experience you've had?
Sure, you want to put it like that. Okay. let's see. Let me go through the Rolodex of the 300,000 things that have happened. No.
First one that pops into your head.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll get to that. Let me start in a different direction, and I'll end up getting there. How's that sound?
No worries. Yeah.
Okay. So, how did I get into the paranormal field? How do I even know ghosts exist? You know, or spirits, energies, this kind of stuff. Because I've seen too many things happen for it not to be real. You know, directly happen to me. I grew up in a house, grew up, Okay, let's see. From my 20s on, the house that we lived in, and actually before that. So, yeah, I was a teenager, then went off, joined the Army, came back home, you know, to the same house. Anyway, this house had at least three separate spirits in it, if not four. There's an angry old man down the garage who would throw shit around, get mad, bang stuff. I mean, really scare us. There's a wonderful, caring woman upstairs who, anytime somebody was sick or really hurt, she would come and visit. And just the calming presence and the relief that she would bring you are just amazing. Just so wonderful. And the third spirit was like this little boy who's very playful. He'd you know, we'd be down, the washer and dryer were downstairs, and you know, you'd be there and you'd feel someone like push you or tickle you or, you know, pinch you. And it was the little boy playing. He was playing while you were doing laundry. It was so much fun. Scary the first time you ever get pushed and there's, you turn around.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Nobody's behind you, but you know, it's like, okay, yeah. It's all good. Anyway, flash forward many, many, many years forward. You know, I meet my wonderful soon-to-be husband. We were dating at the time, Brian. And we started talking a little bit about paranormal. And, you know, I was telling him about my experiences. And he told me about, you know, experiences he had growing up. So we were both interested in it. We're both like, oh, man, this would be cool. You know, Ghost Adventures was like the big show on TV. There's many other ghost shows. I didn't really care for Ghost Adventures. Still don't care for that energy that Zach brings. He's done a lot for the paranormal field.
Yeah, I was thinking Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, he's done a lot for the paranormal field, and I will say that. Maybe it'll help bring it a lot more mainstream and so on. Just his all, bro, duh. See? Confused it. Bro, dude, energy. Just like... And then, like, if nothing's happening, almost every episode, I'm getting very angry. There's a spirit taking over me. I don't act like this. Slam, slam. I'm like, yeah, really? Every episode you've done that, Zach. So how is it that you don't never ordinarily act like this? Come on, give me a break. Anyway, I digress. So
yeah, that's when that show kind of like turned me off of like paranormal myself.
The early shows were really good. The early seasons were really pretty decent. You know, they were trying to figure stuff out. Yeah, they were young, cocky dudes and, you know, provoking and doing stuff, which is not a good idea. But you know, they were out there and they kind of got it, and that got the attention, and they actually did bring a lot of good to the paranormal. So, you know, like the man, hate the man.
Yeah.
You know, he did do a lot of stuff. And by the way, his museum in Las Vegas, I highly recommend. Highly recommend. And
is
yes.
that the one with the Annabelle doll?
Annabelle, no. Is Annabelle there?
Oh, okay.
No, but he's got other dolls, other haunted dolls. He's got Peggy the doll. She is amazing. She told me, I told her when we went in, I was like, oh, hi, Peggy, you're looking good today. And she was like, ooh, thank you, handsome. I mean, that comes because they got a spirit. They have a spirit box running the entire time as you're in there. And man, she was giving some messages. I loved her. She's really good. I said, spring for the VIP or excuse me, RIP upgrade. If you do the tour, it is so worth it. That museum is so well curated. The tours are so good. There's so much stuff. Like I said, I am not a fan of Zach Baggins. I hate that I'm actually supporting him, giving him my money, but I will go to that museum every time I'm in Las Vegas. It's amazing.
That's nice.
So
and that is an unsupported. They are not sending us things to advertise. It's a serious thing. If you really feel that that's a place people should really go to, that's awesome.
Yeah, he is not sponsoring this episode. If he does want to sponsor, please, you know, give us money. You know, I'd love that. But anyway, it's really good. Yeah, unsolicited advice, but really, I love that place. Anyway, back to my story. So we live here in the Bay Area, California. If you're here in, into the paranormal at all in this area, you know about the USS Hornet. It is a World War II aircraft carrier. It was, you know, in the Korean War, Vietnam War. It actually recovered a couple of the space capsules that went up, you know, recovered them. Astronauts, you know, in quarantine for a week on board that ship. You know, they have displays and stuff with that. Anyway. Haunted carrier, beautiful, wonderful. They've been restoring it, you know, bits by bits, year by year. Every year, there's more and more. It's so beautiful. Anyway, so wonderful. So we were looking into paranormal things, and on their website, like four times a year, they do, they call it a history mystery overnight investigation. It's like paranormal things. So you come in, you know, they give you dinner, you get, you know, get your bunking assignment, you know, bring a sleeping bag. You're actually sleeping on the bunks on the ship, and they give you some stories. Yeah, they give you stories about the ship and so on, you know, and break you into groups, take you around for a couple of hours, exploring different things, explaining the paranormal activity that happens in these areas. And then about midnight, they're like, okay, you're free. These two decks of the ship are open. The rest of the ship is closed. We do have alarms. If you go into an area that's closed, it will go off. We will come find you. We'll escort you off the ship. But feel free to roam around these two decks or just go to your bunking, go fall asleep, do whatever you like. So,
right.
You know, so we looked into, and there was an overnight coming up in April and right around B's birthday. And he was like, oh my God, we should do that. So we looked into it, got tickets for it. And I'm all like, oh man, okay, wait a minute. We have nothing. We have no equipment. We have nothing. We've done nothing. What do we do? Oh my God. So I got us mini mag flashlights, you know, so we could at least see, you know, because it's going to be dark in areas. Going to need a flashlight. A couple of Olympus digital recorders. And, you know, through the shows, you know, everyone had a Mel meter. And B was like, oh my God, that's so good. So it was a piece of equipment. And I was like, what does it do? He goes, it finds ghosts. I was like, sounds good to me. So we actually ended up getting a Mel meter as well. So, and it's like, okay, bam, night comes. You know, we get to the Hornets. I'm like, wow. You know, we're just like, oh my God, we're doing this. We're doing this. And then, you know, there's a lot of people. There's some other newbies there. People are, you know, more experienced in ghost hunting. So, you know, it was a great adventure. It was fun going around. Got to see all these things, you know, felt some energies. And then, you know, when they cut you free, yeah, you know, we're like, okay, let's go. Now,
yeah, that sounds like so much fun.
Like, B is like not afraid of anything. Like, he will run into anywhere and like, boom, boom, boom. And he's like, hey, who's here? What's going on? Bam, bam, bam. I mean, like, he's just like not afraid. Me, you know, those first couple investigations, I'm like, man, I don't know. Something jumps out at me. I'm going to scream. You know, because, you know, I was a lot more timid about it. I've gotten so much better because I understand things now. So there's not as much fear. I mean, when things happen, yeah, I can still jump and be scared. But yeah, that's normal.
Yeah,
that's normal. But
you had to wear your brown pants the first couple times.
Yeah, kind of basically just so you wouldn't know. So you wouldn't know nothing happened. Anyway, so we had gone around a couple places and we get cut free. He was all like, oh man, let's get back to this place because, you know, we found some energy. There was something going on. It was like, yeah, I want to go explore that. So we found our way back there. We're going. He's like over in a corner doing the thing. I'm on someplace else, you know, trying to talk, feel some energy, see what's going on. And then B hears something. He's like, hey, who's that? Who are you? You know, and he starts questioning everything. He's like, what is that? I heard the sound. And I look and like, here comes this person down the stairs, you know, to the floor we're on. I'm like, oh, it's just someone coming down the stairs. I go, it's not paranormal. You know, it's a real person, live person. I turn and look and I go, I'm like, you are a real person, right? And this girl laughs. I was lady, I should say, not a girl. Anyway, she laughs. She goes, yeah, I'm a real person. I was like, oh, cool, whatever. She was like, oh, if you guys are investigating, don't worry, I'll get out of your way. I was like, no. I'm like, this is our first time. We don't really know what we're doing. You know, we're just poking around having fun. And she goes, oh, what's going on? So I told her, and she's like, oh. And so we go over to B, and then we just start talking, and we just immediately hit it off with this girl, lady, woman, you know, sorry, just my vernacular, get over it. If you get mad, just,
and
you
then
know, send the hate emails to me.
Bum,
and
bum,
then,
bum,
bum, bum, she walked through a wall, and we never saw her again. Now, actually, so as it turned out, her name is Tammy, and she's actually on a paranormal team, an investigating team. And it was funny that, you know, we met on that ship, and then we kind of hung out with her the rest of the night. Found this other guy who'd been on the Hornet like 20, 30 times, so like, he knew everywhere to go. And so we had fun throughout the night. Great night, good investigation, just a great welcoming into the paranormal. Had so much fun. And then, you know, we finally go to sleep. You know, I go to bed early. I'm all like, I am exhausted. I'm dead. You know, B was up for a little bit longer. And then he crawls in and we're on bunk beds. So he's on the bunk below me. And then we, you know, we pass out, and it's like probably 3 a.m. or so, 3:30, you know, we're asleep, and then they wake you up at like 6:30, you know, and they give you breakfast, and then you're on your way to kick you off the ship again. So anyway, and, you know, we fall asleep, and we're chewing out, and then all of a sudden, you know, I hear B like, ah! You know, he's like, wakes up, and he's like, oh my God. I was like, what? You know, in this section where we are, because they break it up, and like, if you're a couple, you can sleep over there. Female only, you sleep in this area. Male only, you sleep in this section. You know, so you just kind of break it up. It, in that area, it was B, myself, and one other guy. And the other guy was like three rows over on the bunk. So he was nowhere near us at the time. And, you know, B got shook. You know, he got woken up. He was like, oh, my God, someone just grabbed my foot. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, they grabbed my foot and shaked it. And that's why he woke up. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, dude, it's your turn on watch. He's like, what do you mean? In the Navy, you know, overnight, you know, guys go to sleep. But then certain people, you know, you stay up. There's always a watch on ship. It's always manned. You have different areas. There's always a person manning it. And then when you're getting ready to go off, you go around to your bunk to your relief. You shake his foot to wake him up. He gets up. You know, you go back to your watch station. Then he gets up, comes out, relieves you. Then he goes to bed. And that guy's on watch. So it was B's turn on watch. He got his foot shook. So that was...
Oh, man, that's crazy.
So cool. Anyway, so this this woman that we met, her name's Tammy. Like I said, she was on a paranormal team. You know, she had gone to bed and stuff. Then we got up and we were getting all our stuff together. And he was all like, let's go up and see if we can find her, see if we can run into her. He goes, I want to talk to her some more. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, that'd be good. You know, because she said she was on a team. And it was like, hey, maybe we could find out some more stuff or more areas to go, you know, whatever. And so we go up, you know, we get our bags and we're up and, you know, it's like, okay, well, here's the restrooms and here's the exit. So we'll just hang out kind of here. And then we're sitting there and she come, you know, a couple minutes, like 2-3 minutes. And here she comes walking by and we're like, oh, hey. And she was, oh, hi, guys. Da-da-da. And turns out that on her team, she was supposed to be there with a teammate, and the teammate couldn't make it that night, and she almost didn't come, but she was like, no, it's the Hornet, I'm gonna come, even if I'm by myself, y'all have fun. And so, you know, she could have not been there, but she was there, she met us, you know, we could have not been there, but we were there. You know, it was kind of a cool thing. And then she tells us, she goes, hey, she goes, we just had a couple guys walk out on the team. So, you know, we have room for more. Would you be interested in joining the team I'm on?
Yeah.
And we were like, what? Okay, yeah, definitely. She goes, well, let me talk to the leader. And so she goes, you know, I'll talk to him, you know, and tell him about these two guys that I met on the ship. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. She goes, no, you know, investigation. You know, and, you know, everything, just tell them about us and so on. And so the team leader, his name was Dave Carnahan. Dave, right? David Carnahan. Yes. Anyway, wonderful guy. Amazing guy. He is since passed. But he became like a mentor to B and I. He was just wonderful. No, excuse me, not Dave. It's Doug. Doug Carnahan. Douglas Carnahan. Oh, my God, Doug. Okay, come haunt me tonight, because, yeah, I know, I messed up your name. That's hilarious.
He's going to be like, Doug.
He was this big, you know, bear of a guy, but, man, he was the sweetest heart. I just heard his laugh in my ear. He was like, uh-huh, so you forgive me, you forgot my name. He's so funny. Anyway, so Doug, he became a mentor to us. He's just an amazing, amazing man, Douglas Carnahan. If, you know, if you're out here in the West Coast, you know of him. He did Paracon every year up in Virginia City. You know, once we got on the team, then we were part of that Paracon every year. That's how we got into doing Virginia City and falling in love with that haunted city, haunted town. And, man, I could just keep talking and talking and talking about things. But I just wanted to get that background out there to at least start the show. So maybe like next episode, we carry on with this.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear more.
Yeah, and so you asked me about the best paranormal. So many things flash.
Well, it was more of a, like the first, like what was like one you think of when like an experience you had that you immediately like pops in your head, like, oh, this one time really like hit hard.
Oh, boy, man. Gosh, Okay, here it is. Here's one of the best. In an area with Fran on an investigation at a place, there was four of us who would always be together, always doing investigations together. You know, we met through the field. They weren't on our team. It was B and I and Becky and Marie. Becky and Marie were friends. We got to be friends with them. Wonderful people. Marie is like just such a gifted woman. Psychic abilities through the roof. She is so, so kind, so gracious, such a loving soul. And Becky, a good friend of mine, and sarcastic as I am, her and I hit it off immediately because, you know, we got each other from the first second. We were on a different investigation. We met each other, and it's all like, oh, hey, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just carried the backpack for the talent. And, you know, she pointed at her two friends. I'm like, yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm carrying all the stuff, and B's, like, doing all the stuff, and I'm carrying the equipment. So we hit it off there. Anyway, we're at this totally different location. We're there, and we have an app. It's like a spirit box kind of thing. Anyway. So we would usually turn that on and see what kind of spirit, you know, what kind of voices, because you could ask questions, get answers. It's a lot of fun, like interaction with things. Turn on the app because we're all standing in this one thing. Turn it on, you know, have the volume up. The first words out of it are Becky, Charlie, Marie, B. All of our names in a row. The most freakiest thing? That was the exact order we're standing in.
Oh, man, that's so crazy.
It was in this old courthouse, and we were actually, like, up, like, on the jury stand. And, like, we were standing, 1, 2, 3, 4. And, boom, it just named us. So, there's my freaky paranormal. Explain that.
Yeah, that's kind of trippy.
Yeah, so that was crazy. So, that was a fun one. That was good. There's so many other things, you know. Some people, you know, the mag light, you know, how you set it, so it's just barely off, you know, take a little anything to turn it on, and then, you know, the spirits can make it turn on and off. Some people have debunked it, say it's just a charge in the battery, making the light go on and off, da-da-da. I've had that thing, you know, instantly on, off, and not in any kind of a time sequence, you know, answer questions. And then just like, yeah. You know, it'll be totally going on, off, and then like dead for like 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And if it's like a little electrical short, it would be popping on and off during those times just randomly. Yeah. So,
right.
I've
consistently
had,
inconsistent.
Yeah. But I've had just consistent on, like direct, boom. Hey, can you turn the light on? Bam. Okay. Thank you. Can you turn it off? Off. You know, it's like, okay, do whatever. You know, on for yes, off for no. Ask a question. On. You know, it's like, oh, thank you. Off. I mean, just, okay. Yeah. I answered your question. Now it's off. You know, just boom. Or, you know, went to go grab a piece of equipment out of my bag. Couldn't really see. You know, just saw me looking in the bag. Light turned on so I could see.
You that's know, fun. And like when you're doing those, like, do you have like times where it's like, you know how like when somebody's like right behind you, sometimes you're just like, oh, somebody's right behind me.
Oh yeah.
Do you get like that gut feeling like, oh, somebody is freaking here?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You can most of the time you can feel people that are here or spirits that are around you. Yeah, you can always tell, man. You can tell when you're being watched. You know, you just get that,
yes.
You know, on the hairs on the back of your neck go up. It's like, you know, someone's staring at you. You know, you can't see them, but you know they are there. It's crazy. Okay, I got a quick another little story, and then we'll wrap it right here. So, dowsing rods, right? You know dowsing uh-huh. rods, you know, the metal. And,
yeah.
You know, you hold them in your hand, you know, cross for yes, rim apart for no, this kind of thing. So I was like, okay, cool. First couple of videos, first time that I ever saw someone doing dowsing rods, I'm like, those are fake. He's doing that. He knows what answer he wants. He's moving his hands. He's making them change. You know, he's making them cross for yes, spread apart for no. He's, you know, these are so fake. Oh, my God, I hate them. Cannot stand dowsing rods.
Yeah.
There's no way. They are fake. So I was like, oh. Yeah, I mean, like, I was convinced. I was like, okay, I'm going to prove the dowsing rods are fake. So I got some. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to use them, and I'm going to show how fake they are. I'm going to be the guy who debunks dowsing rod. I'm going to be so famous in the paranormal field because I showed you dowsing rods are bullshit. Guess what? They're not.
Oh.
The first time they started working for me, I was like, no, no. I mean, like, seriously. So I'm standing there holding them, and I know if I just move my wrist very slightly, I can make them cross, right? And asked a question, the rods crossed. I'm like, oh, this is easy. I'm going to move my hands back the other way. They're going to uncross, and I'm going to prove this ain't no spirit. I moved my hands back. They didn't uncross. I moved my hands, like, so far back that there is no way they could be crossed. They did not uncross.
Was it, like, something, like, holding on tight? Or was it just, like, you couldn't...
You could feel an energy holding them together. It's like I was fighting against something, and it was holding the rods crossed in front of me.
Yeah.
I mean, I could feel that.
That sounds terrifying.
It was scary there. I was like, okay, I'm a believer. I'm good. And man, I've gotten so many good things. And then I was out somewhere, and a friend of mine had this thing I never saw before. It was like a one-handed. But it was U-shape, so, you know, the two prongs stick out, like, parallel to each other, and, you know, then you hold it on, like, the flat part, you know, so it's like a U. I can't really describe it, but imagine, like, like three parts of a square, you know, like a rectangle, like long, turn short, turn long, and the two longs are, like, you know, pointing at each other, and the little short part has a metal thing around it so that wire goes through so it can move back and forth, right or left, and you can just hold it in one hand, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's called I've heard it called a witch's fork, and that's what I call it, and it's so cool. So I was like, oh my god, cool. So now I could have a flashlight in one hand or another piece of equipment, and I could just, you know, one-handed do it. And then also with the witch's fork, it's even better than dowsing rods for me for, like, direction finding. Because I'd be like, okay, where are you? And boom, it will point that way, and I'll walk, and it will just, like, lead me to things. I've had, been in a room, you know, got the energy and everything, and then, like, gave somebody, like, a coin or a little something to hide. I'll walk out of the room. I'm like, go hide it in the room. So they'd go hide it somewhere, call me back in. Yeah, I come in. Usually if there's been like a spirit in the room been interacting. And so I'll be like, okay, man, you saw where they put it, right? And it's like, boom, you know, my rod will move for me, you know, showing yes. With the one-handed, it's like, for me, if it goes to the left, it's yes. If it goes to the right, it's no. That's like my yes, no, and then I can direction find with it. So it's like, boom, you know, hits my left shoulder. Yes, I know exactly where it is. Okay, show me where it is. Boom, you know, the rod moves. I start walking, and as it moves, I'm just like following it, you know, a couple steps, and then turning. I have never yet not found what has been hidden in the room using that.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I have no idea where they've put it or anything. It's just so much fun. It's like, yep. So it's like a game to play with the spirits, but it's also showing. It's all like, hey, there's something there directing me. I'm not in the room. I have no idea where they hit this. So, you know, Sarah gives a Hot Wheels car. You know, if they hit it like on a windowsill somewhere, I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. How did I walk right to it?
Right.
And it's not like, okay, you know, I'm walking, taking a few steps, scanning the room, looking everywhere. Where is it? Where is it? Oh, I see it over there. Okay, let me make it look. No, I'm just following the way the fork is turning, and it leads me right there. So you tell me.
I really like that, and I can't wait to see that in action myself. Like, yeah. That sounds, like, so neat and, like, an interesting, like, I haven't gotten to do like a lot of paranormal exploration or and the ones I have, I've talked to you about how I know for a fact that I have like strong protection around me.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking, places that I know for a fact are haunted, I'll walk in that place and it's like dead energy. Mm-hmm. All like, and it's not like things are bad or good, it's literally that suddenly all activity will go silent.
Yeah.
And I feel nothing.
And it's like, my friends are like, oh no, this place is like really, really creepy. I'm like, there is nothing here right now, dude.
It's part of that is you, your protection. The thing that I had to learn about that is, you know, because you definitely want to be protected. You want to make sure, you know, you always set the boundaries and the rules. You know, nobody can attach to you. Spirits can't attach to you. They're not allowed to enter your body, you know, without, permission. B is found out that he is like a trance medium, so he can allow spirits in and deliver a message, and then, you know, they leave again. It was a rocky road learning that with him, because he would get jumped a few times, and you know, he like could not control it, couldn't protect himself. And oh man, we found him one time, and his whole face was not his face. And I would know, you know, I know the man I love, I know my husband, and that was not him.
Yeah.
And then it was like blink, blink, and then he's back, and his face just suddenly changed, and it was him again. I mean, even the eyes were different. It's so weird.
Oh,
When he came to on this one, he was like, "What? Huh? Where am I?" And so we're like, "Hey, you know," we remind him the location. So he goes, "No, how did I get in this room?" I go, "You were here. That's where we found you." He goes, "No, I was over," and he was like three rooms away down the hallway. It was the last thing he remembered.
Oh man.
Yeah. So that was one of those freaky ones. And so we've learned with him and his protection that he's gotten so much better. But the thing that I was trying to say about protection, and actually a dear friend of mine told me about it. She was like, you know, you go into an event and you bring in all these protections and you bring up all this stuff because you don't want anything to affect you. But like, your protections are so strong, nothing can get through. And sometimes they see your super bright light. And yes, while they're attracted to the bright light, you have such a force field around you that they're like, oh, gone. And they're like, you're scaring the spirits away because you're too strong coming at them. They think that you're going to hurt them. They see you as something bad coming at them.
And like, I totally understand that.
And even though you might have had the fear of something bad happening to you, so you just put on more and more, you know, instead of just like your little leather, you know, like they used to use leather suits, you know, then they went to chainmail, then steel, and you know, these big, huge armor suits. You know, you've got this huge armor suit on, clunk, 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 this huge thing coming at them. Of course they're going to run away. They can be just as scared of that as you are of a spirit you don't understand.
Right.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So a friend of mine, you know, because she's really in touch with her guide. She has two wolves as her guide. She is just so amazing. And she was all like, you know, they went in. And it was like dead. It was like silent. There was a little activity and everything went dead. And so she called up her wolves, and, you know, because she had them protect her. And she was like, hey, just back off a little bit. You know, just take a step back. You're still there. You know, you're quicker than anything, and you'll be able to protect me no problem. But just back off a little bit. She backed off her protections, her guides. She just had them step back, and all this activity started happening around them.
Very neat.
So it's one of those, it's like, yes, protect yourself, be smart, obviously. You're not going to go in totally open. You're not going to walk out totally open. Ho, nothing could get me. That's where you get in trouble. But don't be so built up on your strength and your protections that you've scared everything away.
Right. And I think, like, one of the things that I have felt like this for so long, I'm just comfortable with it. It's just, you know, I know nothing's going to be able to harm me or hurt me or bother me. And, you know, I don't even think about it half the time. Mm-hmm. I forget where I was. Where was I? Oh, when we went to Gore Orphanage in Ohio. Okay. And like, there's all these stories. And to be honest, I don't know anything about whether any of those stories are true, false. I know very little, so I, you know, I'm not coming from a knowledgeable like standpoint.
Yeah.
And we get there, everybody says there's so much there, so much there. And the only crazy thing that happened was when we actually, like, and I didn't know it at the time, when we actually stepped into the premises where the building used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I heard like the creaking of a door opening.
Nice.
And that was the only thing. Other than that, it was like, for me, I was like, dude, this ain't scary. Like, what are you guys all afraid about? Like, I don't feel nothing.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing that door creak, and I'm like looking around like, dude, we're in the middle of the damn woods. That was like a hinge.
yeah, definitely.
That needed some oil. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's all, this just popped into my head, so it must have been George telling this. It's like a radio. You know, you got to get the right frequency, you know, for the station to come in. So you just got to kind of dial those things around. You know, it's, yes, you know, protect yourself. I mean, don't be stupid. Yes, learn protections. Learn your basic. Learn your grounding. Learn your shielding. Learn how to do this stuff. But don't be so focused on your protections and you're like, oh my God, it's going to hurt me. You block out any experience. You negate anything that's happening. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Patty Negri, who I love to death, and she's all like, look, it's very simple. Yes, it can be crazy, but spirits cannot interact on our world, our plane, unless we allow them to. You know,
yes,
she's
exactly.
Like, and you know, she teaches seance, mediumship, all this stuff. And she goes, obviously, you're going to set the boundaries. You're going to set the thing. If you're opening the veil, you're opening the door. You know, you need to set the boundaries and the expectations. So you tell them, no, they can't. They cannot do that. But we're open to communication. And she's an amazing person. If you know her, then you know what I'm talking about. If not, look her up. She is a most wonderful, dear friend of mine. I'm also working to get her as a guest on the podcast one day.
Yeah. Anyway,
gonna let that drop. Anyway, that'll be a fun one. She's a wonderful person, but she is so good. And it's like, yes, you know, yes, have your protections, but you know, don't be stupid about it. Also, you know, it's like, you know, she relates it to, you know, like, you know, you don't let just anybody off the street into your house. You know, you said you have your protections. Same thing when you're doing mediumship, and you know, and in the same way, ghost hunting.
Yeah.
You know, be like, open to the be open to the experience, but then also set your boundaries. And the ghosts, they have to follow it. They have to.
Right. It's like good. Like my sometimes I feel like the protections I feel and have. It's like going into the medieval time, and everybody's wearing chainmail, leather, and armor, and I'm wearing a freaking futuristic force field, and it's like, okay, that like this. Is too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Unnecessary.
That's it for sure. Yep, entirely. All right, man, we have gone a little long, and I I'd keep talking on this one.
I know. We have, this is why we decided to do it, even though it was supposed to be off week. It's like, this is so much fun.
It is. All right. I mean, God, we've got so much more. I mean, like, okay, next episode, it's going to be just like quick. I might put you on the spot for reading, might not, or I might just dive into this more paranormal topic, and then maybe we'll do a reading. Who knows? We'll figure it out. But
no problem.
Yeah, but God, this has been great. So again, thank you all for listening. Man, episode 6, wrapping it up. Wow.
It's amazing. It's wonderful.
It is.
I just can't like explain the gratitude I have for anybody that's listening. My gratitude for you, Charlie. Like, mm-hmm. we're making this happen, and it's so cool.
I know. I was just saying, I'm so grateful for you to agreeing to do this podcast with me. You know, I couldn't do it on my own. You and I are like the perfect team for it. And I mean, just so appreciative to everybody who listens, all the feedback. You know, the guests that we've had on the podcast, the guests that we're going to have, you know, all of this stuff. I'm just so excited about our future and just so thankful and grateful that I live in a world where I can do this.
Right. Like that you and I, who like you live in California, I live in Ohio, and that we are able to, like, because of technology and the ability to meet people, like we were able to meet, communicate, like bond, and make a dream come true from literally across the whole country.
Exactly. I knew it was possible because one of the I listened to a lot of podcasts, and one of the tech podcasts I listened to, one of the guys is here in the Bay Area. He actually not far away. I know the town he lives in. I don't know exactly where his house is. I'm not that kind of a stalker. But the partner, the guy that he does the podcast with, lives in England. So, I mean, if they can do one, you know, cross the Atlantic like that, you know, almost opposite sides of the world, I go, California, Ohio, we can do this. We can make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, everybody, you all have a wonderful week. I know it's probably going to be like a month before you hear this, but thank you all, and we have so much fun and love sharing this with you.
Yes, yes. I'll be excited to see where we are when this one releases. Because,
yeah!
Because it is. It's going to be like a month from today when it gets released to the public. That's going to be crazy.
Yep.
I'm going to leave that in, too. So, all right, everybody. Bye!
Bye!